This is Wells Tech, a weekly show exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. Your hosts are Sally Draper and Martin Spriggs. Wells Tech is produced by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod.
Welcome to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 535, recorded on February 7th, 2018. I'm Martin Spriggs, and joining me live and in living color, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, welcome to Wisconsin.
Thank you, sir. You brought some nice weather along for my trip over.
Did
we? Appreciate
that.
A little bit of a snowy drive, but all good. Happy to be here.
Good. Yeah, we had a technology off-site. We do that once a year. Do some planning, talk about different topics that's good to get some face-to-face time. So you and your hubby came in, and we had a good time. It was, I think it was a great
I'm
session.
I'm pretty fired up.
Yeah,
we got some good ideas flowing, for sure.
I'm also fired up about February because we're focusing on a topic that I think a lot of our listeners are going to be really excited about and interested in as well, and that's training, especially training for service and not just any service, but those that involve specific technologies. That's a challenge in any nonprofit setting or any organization that doesn't have hired staff responsible for some of the things that have to go on within an organization, like the topic for today, live projection, handling the video board in a worship service. And we're going to talk about church management software later in the month and a bunch of other things that require kind of a coordination and usually volunteers, and usually not always the same volunteer from week to week. So trying to get them up to speed and some critical tasks that need to get done consistently, that's a challenge.
It is, and you mentioned don't have hired staff, but oftentimes we do have our hired staff, but they're stretched really thin and they're not needing to sit down and do every single function in the church or school. So these volunteers become key to keeping the church and school running. It's very important work that they do. And I think our called workers and staff in churches and schools can spend their time setting up the systems and providing them the support they need and turn the work over to the volunteers.
And and don't sell that short. Getting that stuff all ready, that's hard work. And that's kind of what we're talking about, how to set them up to be successful. Because if there's a fail, especially in the topic today, worship projection, everybody sees it. It's not a good thing.
That's
so we
right.
want to make sure that there is a strategy and that there's time put in. And we've got we put together some tips and maybe some key questions we want to work through. And then we're going to have an interview of somebody that comes to us with a great package that could help things. So some tips that we put together. Tip number one. Maybe pair up your volunteers to start with. So don't kind of set them out on an island. Sometimes those volunteers are younger, maybe they're high schoolers, maybe even younger that you're getting to man the video booth or the audio booth. Don't leave them out there to drive by themselves. Maybe put them with a more experienced person to start with. I think that's maybe a great first step.
Yeah, I do too. Worship projection can take so many different angles. If it's one thing if it's just a straight through presentation and they're going to click a button every time a slide needs to change, but oftentimes they're bringing in videos, or in our church the pastor switches to controlling the presentation himself, has his own slides for the sermon and
right.
things like that. So there's a lot of curveballs that can come at that person. So yeah, sitting there, pairing them up, having a teammate to walk them through and let them observe at first and practice. Great idea.
Especially if you're responsible for audio and video, you can kind of divvy that up a little bit.
Sure.
I think that's a good thing, especially when you're just getting started. And then you mentioned curveballs. One way to avoid the curveballs is to rehearse. Kind of go through the entire, soup to nuts experience so that you know what to expect. There aren't any surprises. You know when things are supposed to be queued up, and so the timing is a little bit more expected, and you're not surprised by anything. The last thing you want is to be surprised right when you have to be doing something. You're not quite sure that you're doing the right thing.
Right.
then panic sets in and it goes downhill pretty quickly.
You know, true story, I witnessed someone do this just yesterday. It wasn't worship projection, it was projection in our team meeting, and Martin was in charge of pushing the button for everybody's presentation. And you know, I saw that panic in his eyes when mine came up and he didn't know where I had put in those fancy transitions. And you know, time to push the button, Martin. So yeah, didn't have a chance to rehearse, so I'll cut you a little slack
okay.
on that.
We made it through.
Yeah, we survived. Yeah. Worship projection, a little bit more important than that.
But that brings up another good point, is you always, when you're relying on technology, it's always good to have plans B, C, D through Z.
True.
At least a backup plan. Technology does fail, believe it or not. It requires electricity, it requires bulbs, and requires the equipment to stay up and running. There's lots of things that can go wrong, and that's maybe not something that the individual working the equipment can always be solely responsible for. You have to work with the worship team, the pastors. You know, what happens if? You got to ask those questions and then make sure that those people that are responsible for kind of plan B and C know when that should be implemented and how to do that.
Great advice. Another good point or tip to make is to start small. So maybe you have visions of integrating video and all kinds of things like that, but you've never done it before, or your volunteers have never done it before. Bring them in on a Sunday when there isn't a lot going on,
right,
and let them get used to and test the waters in easier territory.
Yep. Video projection in a worship service is still, I'd say, somewhat controversial. I think you've got some folks that are really in favor of it and some that, you know, can't stand it. I think one thing that helps that is obviously a quality product, but consistency. Mm-hmm. You know, the worst thing that you can do is do it one way one week and then another way the next week, just to try and get them used to it so that there's a sameness. We Lutherans like that. We don't like to change. So
no.
Once we've implemented something, don't change it up every week. Kind of strive for, you know, some consistency in the slides, in the timing, what it is you're projecting. So if you're just doing it for pre-service or offering or whatever, you know, let that sink in, and that kind of goes to that start small strategy as well.
Yeah, and we're going to have an interview in a few minutes, and I think one of the key things about some of the worship software that's out there is that it's collaborative. And so it could be that the pastors are working on a section of it, and the worship leaders, the people responsible for music, are working on other sections of the projection, you know. And so you want to make sure everybody's on the same page with it. You don't want inconsistency in the slides that you've prepared for someone to use. That can lead them, you know, leave them in a lurch, make things difficult for them.
Yeah, the kind of the worst strategy that I can imagine is one team does the prep, they just hand off a thumb drive and say, here it is, you know, good luck. I think there's got to be some coordination, some communication, and really good rule of thumb is assume nothing. You know, assume that that whoever it is that's on one side or the other, you know, hasn't done what they're supposed to do, so that you're checking and double checking, and that you're really comfortable going into a worship experience that things are going to go well. The last thing you want is something that's going to disrupt that worship experience. That's the one thing that's the objective, the prime objective of that Sunday morning experience or whatever it is, whenever it is that you're doing it, that there is nothing standing between you and worship.
And you know what that sounds like, right? It's that sound of everyone collectively reaching for their hymnal to find the hymn because the words aren't up on the screen.
Or just dead silence.
Yeah. The pastor's looking for a response and nothing happens.
Or the pastor's looking up in the balcony opening, something will happen soon. Right.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
A couple of questions, or at least one big question in my mind that I think everybody should also ask as part of this is, how do you get feedback on what you're doing? So just to go out, assume that things are going well because there were no glitches or whatever, it probably isn't enough. You want, you know, that constant or cycle of feedback to get better and better, tweak things here. Maybe it's, you know, unreadable text. Maybe the slides are being advanced too soon. You know, all that stuff is helpful, and don't be afraid to kind of ask the people that are using the technology, those that are experiencing what you're presenting, to give you a good feedback. So you got to figure out how to get that and ask for it too.
Mm-hmm. And I think another angle of feedback is asking your volunteers for feedback as they go through the process. Maybe you expressed that. Mm-hmm. But I could see in our church in particular, volunteers being really kind of struggling because of where our video projection location used to be. It was actually outside of the sanctuary in a separate little room, and they had video into the sanctuary to see what was happening that they had to monitor, as well as, and we've just recently moved that up into the balcony where they are in the worship environment, you know. So I would guess your volunteers would have ideas for you after they've gone through the process.
Right. And maybe the last thing we should talk about are just some tools that might be helpful trying to get this all coordinated. And there are good project management tools like Trello and Basecamp, those kinds of things. But there's just some good old-fashioned scheduling tools that would be helpful when you're trying to organize these volunteers. I think of Google Forms as being one. And then we've talked about signup.com being another, so that you're out ahead of this and that you're letting people identify when they're available and making that commitment. Especially when you're dealing with maybe a younger crowd, you want to stay on top of that, maybe have some kind of reminder system, just make sure that, hey, we got this covered, right? And you check and double check and just make sure everything's all set.
Yeah, we have 5 services every weekend, so I have great respect for the people that coordinate all that, and yeah, using these tools would definitely make it easier.
Yep. We should probably jump to our interview next. A couple weeks ago, we had the opportunity to sit down with an employee of Faith Life, the makers of Lugga software, mm-hmm. but they also have another product called Proclaim, which is a worship presentation tool with lots of things that I think our congregations would find beneficial. And Kristen Tate came and talked to us about some of the things that are in the product and then some things that are coming up as well. So let's listen to that interview with Kristen.
Very happy to have joining us from Faith Life, Kristen Tete. Kristen, thanks for joining us. I hope I got that last name right.
You did. You did. Great job.
Awesome. Kristen, I don't even remember how our paths crossed. Maybe a member of your organization reached out, and we've had a relationship with Faith Life for a while, especially on the Lugga side of things, mm-hmm. Makers of Lugga. So we've had them, they were at Wells Tech, a member of Faith Life or a representative from Faith Life was there and had a booth on Lugga. But we're really not talking about Lugga today. We asked you to come on to talk us through your church presentation software offering, which is called Proclaim, and we've talked about this on the show before, so it's a great pleasure to have you on to talk a little bit about this, but maybe share a little bit about yourself and your responsibilities there first with Faith Life.
Sure. Well, thanks so much, Martin and Sally, for having me and having us. Faith Life, at Faith Life, we equip churches with technology so they can grow in the light of the Bible. And so it brings me great joy to know you have such a history with Logos, because Logos is 26 years old. I mean, it's a product that is very mature. And I'd like to think that in our church products category, which I work in the church on the church products team, that we've taken all of the lessons we've learned from Logos and we've pivoted and applied them to church presentation software and a number of other things like church management. And so Proclaim is a beautiful product. And as somebody who has served on many different worship teams, I can identify with the needs of a church very closely and some of the pain points. And it's a delight for me to see how Proclaim addresses those needs.
So is that why Faith Life decided they needed a product like this? They saw a real need in congregations and said, hey, we're going to build this?
Yes, absolutely. Our CEO, Bob Pritchett, who works very closely with the product manager of Proclaim, Scott Alexander, the story that Bob has shared with me is that a long time ago, he went to a church that was using an old school projector. And the pastor was using, you know, those, not Sharpies, what are those, vis-a-vis eraser markers, mm-hmm. and illustrating his sermon on that projector. And then one Sunday, Bob and his wife came to church and noticed that that old projector was gone and a new projector was in its place, but it didn't allow the pastor to do the same thing. And Bob noticed that the way that the pastor was identifying with the message was clearly not as hands-on, but it also wasn't connecting as much with the congregation. And so he said, gosh, it would be beautiful for us to design something that connects the congregation with what the pastor is is teaching. And so our church presentation software, Proclaim, was born from that. And it's just gotten better over the years. And we have a number of churches who have shared with us that this is something that's indispensable to them now. They can't do church service without Proclaim.
I love it. I love the real life experience there. You guys weren't just out to create a product, but it came from a need and an experience and everything. That's really great. I guess if many churches would think, if I'm going to project something, PowerPoint is the way to go. That's what I know to do a presentation in. So why Proclaim over just using plain old PowerPoint?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. We hear that a lot too. Mm-hmm. So Proclaim was built with the church in mind. PowerPoint was not. PowerPoint is an office technology. And so we have these features in Proclaim that are very adaptive to what the church needs. So we have a pre-service loop that shares announcements. We have a countdown to when the church service starts. We have the actual service that is the sermon portion, and you can record. This is one of the coolest things about Proclaim, and this was like my mind went when I saw this. You can record the sermon, and when you go off air, when you're finished with your presentation, it automatically loads the audio from your sermon and your sermon slides to your website. So no more taking your presentation, taking the audio files from your presentation and editing them in a presentation software and then moving to upload that to your website. It's all done in one beautiful, seamless process. So Proclaim is certainly a very interesting and cool technology, but also baseline is that Proclaim is beautiful. We have a full team of graphic designers on staff, and there are thousands and thousands of graphics that come loaded into Proclaim, and every month we add new and interesting, beautiful designs that are seasonal and that are relevant for church activities.
And I think that's a big struggle with congregations, especially medium or small-sized ones that don't have staff, that have volunteers that are working through this. And, you know, many of them have many hats. What are some of the other common problems you're hearing from churches that this particular software is attempting to solve?
Mm-hmm. One thing that we hear from churches is that they're often trying to import song lyrics. How many times have you gone and searched in Google for How Great Thou Art and copied and pasted the lyrics from online to your to PowerPoint, and then you have to format it yourself? Well, Proclaim has, it's integrated with CCLI and Song Select, and so you can import song lyrics directly from that, and it auto-formats, and it's simple. I mean, ease of use. It is one of the simplest things I have ever seen. I see people who have never touched the technology and they import song lyrics and they get it right away. And so that's a problem that that I love to see us solve, because I have been a part of worship services where the pastor will come in as we are preparing for the service and say, you know, I really feel like we need to add this song. This Sunday. How many times has that happened?
Not good, huh?
And so then the worship leader is scrambling to try and import that song. Well, it's something that literally takes maybe 3 mouse clicks to do in Proclaim. And I think that's going to help a lot of people. Quite frankly, the Sunday service or the Saturday night service is not about the presentation. It is about creating an environment for people to come and bring their best and to worship. And so if we can take care of the technology via Proclaim, then the church can do what the church is there to do, and that's worship.
Yeah, very good. Our congregation uses projection software, and, you know, to be honest, I haven't dug down deep enough to know what they're using. They do, I think, possibly use Proclaim. I'm just not as familiar. But I know that they have they have a rotating set of volunteers that are involved in it. And, you know, it just takes one little forgetting to click the button at the right moment or whatever, and your service can really go downhill. You can really lose confidence in that projection and everything. All of a sudden, everybody's reaching for a hymnal to look up to him and things like that. And it's just not what you want to happen. It's a very critical role. And I think getting people to fill that role is a challenge for them. So I'm just wondering how Proclaim addresses that, if it's easy enough for someone to sit down and feel confident and do a good job with it.
Sally, thanks for asking that question, because that's really important to us. We realize that there are volunteers every Sunday who show up 30 minutes before service and go, how do I do this? I've never used this before in my life. And so what we've done is, one, when we build Proclaim, and I'm sitting actually on the floor of developers who built this, so I almost wish they could all come in here so you could see their faces. Because they're wonderful people who think about people in the process of designing this software. And they have the volunteer in mind who doesn't have a lot of time to learn it. And so they're building it to that end. So a volunteer can come in on a Sunday morning, and the service order is there for them. And there are prompts within the software that tell them what each of the what each of the features does. But we also, if they, our team realized that some people just feel better if they have a PDF of directions to use something. And so our team actually has a special volunteer PDF. It's very short, and it tells you the basic things that you need to go, what we call on air.
Sure.
Yeah, to the software. Because any software, though it's easy, is generally going to have a lot of features that are really cool that you might want to know how to do. And so you might want to know how to use. And so with Proclaim, we've not only built the product with the volunteer in mind, but we have some directions that can teach a volunteer how to do it pretty quickly.
Before we're going to keep you on for a little bit longer to do a demo for us, if you would. But one of the questions, maybe while we're preparing to do that, is what's the pricing model? How does this all work? Is it by worship? Is it by membership size? Is it by feature set? Is it by average worship attendance? What's the pricing model?
Martin, it's average weekly attendance the pricing model, and the product that we really encourage everyone to have is Pro Media, because that's where all of the our basic product is fabulous for Proclaim, and Pro Media, which is the 10,000 designs, is really the space where most churches in America are looking. And so we encourage people to look at Pro Media, and actually we're really excited because we have a special offer for Wells Tech listeners. If you go to proclaimonline.com/WellsTech, they can get a 2-month trial for free.
Oh, sweet.
And, so we want people to get in there and try it out and see what they think. And we have an online forum where users can say what they like and what they would like to change. And I will tell you, I hear the developers talking about what users say, and people become famous around here because they post in our forums. So we are constantly monitoring, and our goal is to meet the needs of the church. And so so that's why we have that exceptional level of customer service.
Neat. Wonderful. Do you have some time to show us a quick demo?
I would love to. Here, let me get to.
So it is obviously a very visual product, so we might as well take a look at what it looks like and what the experience would be like.
All right. So can you all see my screen here?
Yes.
Great. So on the left-hand side of the screen, this is Proclaim. Welcome to Proclaim. on the left-hand side here, you can see the service elements I was talking about earlier. We have a pre-service loop, we have a warm-up, the actual service, and then the post-service loop. And what's so cool about this this is where I geek out a little bit, is you can set your service time. So if you have a service at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., you set your service times in Proclaim, and everything flows around that service time. And so we have a countdown video that will start at 8:55 if your service starts at 9. And then at 9 a.m., your service is going to roll into your first hymn. And you can see we have beautiful motion graphics behind this this Amazing Grace. But I want to show you real quick how you add a song to this. This is one of course, the most important elements of church presentation software. So we're going to go to Add Item and select Song. And you see we have something that we've created called Smart Media. And you can start typing, and you see that these songs are preloaded here. We're going to select Come Thou Font. And it automatically loads in formats. And say we want, too many words on this screen. So we're going to create another screen. And you see how it's just so responsive to my movements. And we're going to add a background here. Let's browse media. And this is
I'd get lost here. There's lots to see, huh?
There is a lot to see. You have a lot of options. So this is clearly something you're going to be doing before the service, unless you know that instance that I spoke about earlier about the pastor coming at the last minute saying, we need this song. But let's pick this up.
Yeah, I said I'd get lost, but I think in a good way, I'd have a lot of fun there.
Yeah, it's pretty beautiful. Mm-hmm. So then let's, so we've just added a song. Do you see, that took 20 seconds maybe. And so it's pretty simple there. And then we move into our next area. And you see on the left-hand side, these little start recording and stop recording cues. Those are cues you drop into the service. And let's take this on air just so you can see. I love this. Oops. Let me actually take it on air from the place that it should go on air. There we go. And this is our sermon here, and you can see that it's responsive. If you have members of the congregation taking notes.
One thing I really like about these kinds of packages, and Proclaim seems to kind of have nailed it, is the understanding of the importance of size of text and contrast and what colors show well. And very often that's one of the challenges of kind of repurposing a tool like PowerPoint or whatever, where it's maybe not meant for a larger audience. It's fine maybe in a classroom, but you put it in the front wall of a church, and the text is hard to read. You're not accounting for lighting circumstances. So they've kind of thought through that ahead of time, and it's a very visually appealing and also legible experience, which is really important.
Exactly. Thank you for saying that. We agree. That's really important to us, that the design is beautiful. That's our baseline. So we've reached the end of this sermon, and I'm going to, for the purpose of this, escape so we can show you something cool that happens. So while we were doing that, while we were walking through that sermon, it was recording our audio and our slides together. And it's now showing us, hey, here's your audio. What would you like to do with it? And what we can do here is on the lower right-hand corner, we can publish our audio, and that will go directly. There's a widget you can add to your website. It will go directly to your website. So that is just a phenomenal feature.
I did not realize it had that feature. That's awesome.
Yeah, really nice. Yeah,
it's pretty cool. So then when your service is over, then you'll move to your post-service loop. And this will loop indefinitely until your next service, which this will just start, if you set the beginning of the pre-service loop to 30 minutes in advance, there will be a seamless transition from your post-service to your next pre-service. And so the whole idea is that you just can use this. You can kind of set it and forget it in terms of pre and post service, and then you can operate it during your service. So that's pretty cool. But I want to show you one last thing, because this is my favorite feature of Proclaim. In the middle of your sermon, I'm going to go back here. In the middle of your sermon, if the pastor says, you know, I want to see 1 John 1:7. You, on the right-hand side, you have these quick screens, and these are screens that you can access while you're presenting, which is a very different feature than PowerPoint offers, because normally you have to take PowerPoint offline in order to edit it. Well, in Proclaim, you can edit while it's showing on a screen, and it's pretty powerful. So up in this little box up here, I don't know if you can see my mouse, 1 John 1:7. We're going to go to that, and I'm showing you what our on-screen Bible feature looks like. Isn't that beautiful?
Wow, yeah, that's awesome. Nice.
Yeah, so this enhances the worship experience, and for me, the best worship services are services where you don't even notice what's happening in the background, because it's just all a seamless experience, and you have come for a purpose and you are able to fulfill that purpose in attending the worship service.
Very nice. Now, just one last question before we let you go. First of all, thank you for taking the time to do that demo. That was awesome. That's helpful too.
Absolutely.
Is the product something that you download and install, or is it web-based, or can more than one person work and collaborate on putting this thing together?
It is a product that you download and install, and you can use it on Windows or Mac, and actually collaboration is one of the key functions of Proclaim. Because it's cloud-based technology, a pastor, a worship leader, a church admin, all three can work together on the same presentation and do their particular portions of it, and maybe the worship leader is the one who has the final eye on the presentation, but everyone can be working on the same presentation.
So even though you've got a local install, it's saving up to the cloud and then
exactly
syncing with anybody else who's opening up the same presentation. Awesome.
Exactly. And there are unlimited installs. So your church gets a subscription, 10 people want to install it, 10 people can.
That's great.
Beautiful.
All right.
Kristen, thanks so much.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sally.
Thanks so much, Kristen, for joining us. It was a real joy to get the demo and everything, and we'll definitely include that link to the special offer you mentioned in our show notes. So maybe tell us that URL one more time.
Absolutely. It's proclaimonline.com/WellsTech.
Awesome.
Very good. Thank you again, Kristen. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And blessings on your work.
Thank you. You too.
Want to thank Kristen for her time, and it's an exciting product. I hadn't looked at it in a while, and now they've made some nice improvements, and she did a nice job of walking us through all the available options that are at our disposal with this product.
Yeah, definitely. And I love the idea that Faith Life is willing to work with us and Wells, and has issued us a discount code and a 3-month free trial. That's outside their normal, and that should give congregations a great opportunity to try it out, get into the collaborative stuff, look at their great library of resources that they provide along with it. You'll need to go to proclaimonline.com/WellsTech. And then if you're prompted, you're going to use the promo code WellsTech as well. So 3 months free. Give it a try.
Yep. And she certainly made a compelling case to consider going beyond PowerPoint. There are definitely some things that PowerPoint can't do that this kind of a product like this could do.
Yeah.
So
definitely the collaborative nature too is just super valuable.
Right. So thanks again, Kristen, for your time. All right, let's move on to our news in tech segment. The big news that is flooding my Twitter feed these days is from Apple and their HomePod, which was announced last summer, said they would ship before Christmas. They pushed that out, and now it is coming in February here, and some of the reviewers are getting their hands on it at this point. HomePod, in case you're not familiar with it, is a product that is, you know, riding a couple of fences here. It's competing against the standalone Bluetooth speakers like Sonos, the higher end, you know, good quality speakers that you put in your home, and then the Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, you know, all those things. And the reviews, we'll put a link to one of the reviews from The Verge in here, have not been overly positive about that Alexa, Google Home side of things. Siri is just not quite up to the task. Apple has really made this something that only Apple users can use, so that you really have to have an iPhone to even set the thing up. Mm. Where it shines is in its audio quality. It's supposed to be just a tremendous piece of audio engineering hardware. So if you're into that and you want a great sound out of a small, you know, little cylinder, you know, this might be something that you would consider, but you have to be in that Apple ecosystem. The price isn't cheap. I think it's about $350.
Yeah, that's not a shining point, is it?
Right. But it depends. If you're an audiophile and you've got a place, you know, if you're looking to fill a gap that
sound
you have,
quality. Then,
you know, this is it. It only works with AirPlay, so you actually couldn't even hook up your another Bluetooth device to it. You couldn't stream Spotify or anything else to it, podcasts, etc. So it's pretty narrow. So we'll see what happens with the product, and we'll see where it goes from here.
You're not doing this as your pick of the week. You haven't bought
one
yet.
No, I'm not.
Just curious.
Not in the market.
No?
I actually have an Alexa and a Google Home on the same table in the living room at this point. So I'm trying to figure out how to get our apps on there. Play devotions through the Bible in 3 years, those kinds
sure.
of things. So I'm doing some testing with them. So I've got two assistants I can address at this point. A third might send my wife over the edge too. But all right, especially at $350.
Yeah, that's a little pricey.
Yep. Let's move on to Wells Now.
Yeah, just a quick announcement that our Interactive Faith Bible Study is wrapping up this week. Actually, tonight is the last installment is the good word that I'm looking for. The last installment of Interactive Faith. You can find it at wells.net/interactivefaith. You'd be joining Pastor Daniel Hobbin, who is serving down in Antigua and leading the study on Isaiah this time. Mm-hmm. And if you've missed it, then we have archives that we'll link to in the show notes as well, where you can watch the previous episodes of the Bible study.
Yeah. He does a tremendous job. I think he's really comfortable with the venue, and just talking to the camera is something you kind of have to get used to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's very comfortable, and the material is awesome, and it's just a great study. Fortunately, all these are recorded, and you can be replayed.
Yeah, that's
so
nice.
That if you can't tune in live, you can go to the wells.net website and download or play these at a later date too.
Downloadable resources to go along with your study, so you can do it with a group or individually, whatever your pleasure.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think we're to the segment in our show where we have our tips or picks of the week. Sally, you want to lead off?
I do, and my pick of the week is actually a little Google trick. So if you use your Google search bar and type in speed test, Google has a built-in speed test that you can make use of. And so it'll return, obviously, with search results as well, but if you type in that term speed test, you'll get an option to run a speed test, which you can kick off right there from your Google search results. This may be valuable, especially if you're kind of troubleshooting. Certain people have better speed than others or whatever around your building. Maybe there's dead spots in your Wi-Fi coverage or something like that. You can just bring up a computer in a particular area, and mine says, "Aw, snap, something went wrong." That's not good, Google. "Aw, snap." I'll try that again sometime. But anyway, you saw it hopefully working for us, and there's a little blog post that I read that gives some background on it, so I'll make sure and link to that as well.
One good application for this, and one of the applications I use it for a lot, this or other similar tools, is if you're doing live streaming, or if you're doing something that would require download or upload speeds to be checked.
Sure.
Sometimes download speeds are not the problem, it's the upload speed. If you're doing any live streaming, you want to make sure that this Wi-Fi network or whatever it is you're on can support it. So if you're live streaming the Bible study or the sermon or whatever
sure.
it is,
sure.
this is a good way to test the line condition and figure out if this is going to work for you.
So. Good way to test when it works.
Right.
So it worked for me before. I just have to take my word for it on
yeah.
that.
All right. My pick of the week is right here with me, and actually is kind of here with me. Let me explain. This is an Amazon Kindle Fire HD 8. And this was my pick back in last summer, I want to say. This was a $49 tablet, really nice for the price, but actually my pick is the kids version, which is $99, and it has a built-in bumper mm-hmm. made for kids. And the reason that this comes to mind is I've got my daughter's family staying with us for a month while they're moving up or transitioning to Sheboygan, Wisconsin. They're moving from southern Indiana, so while they're waiting for the house to close, they're in with us. So they're in the basement, and you know, obviously we're you know kind of figuring out how to live with each other and whatever. But got to talk about what their kids are using for watching videos and those kinds of things in the car, especially. And my daughter's been using like an iPad 2 or something that's getting really slow and you know is not performing real well. And I asked her, "Well, are you going to replace that?" And she said, "Well, the people that I've been talking to, their mommies that I talk to, they're all getting." These cheaper tablets, like these Fire HD tablets, they're much lower price. So $100 is much lower than what you're going to pay for any iPad.
Definitely.
And you get almost all the same things. You get similar quality screen. And for this particular product, you get a bunch of other things that Amazon is throwing in. One of the nicest things is you get a no questions asked 2-year warranty.
Wow.
For a kid's device, that is awesome. Anything can happen to it. You can run over it with your car, you know, something gets spilled on it, who knows what. You can send it back in and they'll send you another one, which is awesome. Comes with all kinds of kid-friendly content, a kid-safe browsing experience. And just in playing with this device, because I don't use it day in and day out, a lot of the improvements that have been made to the Reader app and those kinds of things have really made a difference. So, for instance, I was just pulling up the Psalms through the Wartburg Project released, that
mm-hmm.
was written by Professor Brugge, or former Professor Brugge. And I was just noticing all the neat things that the Reader app has kind of put in their Books app. And one of them, let me see if I can pull it up quick here. So this is just the Book of Psalms. You can get this for free. But they have little tools now available, let me just pull one up, called Word Runner and WordWise. WordWise, I think, would be awesome, especially for kids that are maybe pulling up content that might be a little bit more difficult for them. If you turn this feature on, it picks out the hard words or the harder words in the text that you're reading and gives a brief dictionary description of that word right on the page. So if I could maybe just give an example here. I had one all queued up and I lost my place, but falsehood is a word that you know maybe a third or fourth grader might not know.
Sure.
Okay, so it's a lie or inaccuracy. They might understand, you know, lie, for instance, mm-hmm. and you can tap on it and it will pull up a dictionary description, falsehood noun, similar words, and then a definition, and then you can actually have it pronounce it for you too.
Nice.
So this is probably also good for people whose primary language is not English.
Great.
So mm-hmm. you have an opportunity for that. And then the other tool that was really interesting is called Word Runner. And Word Runner is kind of a speed reading tool. So what it does is you set it up and it takes the text and it just flashes the words across the middle of the screen so your eye doesn't have to move. So this is kind of a tested technology that other apps are now using, where once you start it, it's just going to, at various speeds, and you can speed it up or slow it down, but all the words are just going to appear right in line, right in the middle, and then you can press and hold to slow down, back up, go forward. So it's supposed to improve your reading skills, and the speed of your reading. So that's actually pretty cool as well, which I didn't know either of these existed, and I think these are built into most books at this point. So.
Okay. So I have the Kindle reader on my iPhone and iPad.
Good question.
Probably
I don't know if
those.
You should check it out.
Definitely.
Because these are definitely, I think, great for different kinds of readers, different tools. And then you've got highlighting and a notebook and sharing and all that other stuff that you get along with digital books. So
very
another
nice.
Check in the positive column for digital reading, Sally.
Maybe I need to order a Kindle on the drive home. Who knows?
They're cheap. This one, like I said, good quality. The speakers are good too.
Mm-hmm.
That kids version that we'll put a link to in my pick section, there is a cheaper version that is a 7-inch version, I think. So it's, I think, $79 versus $99. A little bit smaller screen, of course, a little bit lower quality, and the speakers aren't quite as good. So it's probably, you know, wise to go with, and a little bit more memory on the 8 rather than the 7.
Yeah, this one's got 32
gigs. And you can put an SD card in it as well to expand the storage, put another movie on there, whatever.
I think I'm sold.
So that's where they're talking these days. So that I'm just passing that along.
Well,
but I'm impressed with the technology. Here,
ear to the ground for the mommy crowd. That's great.
No, I totally lost my place. What are we on? Are we up to ministry resources?
I should
probably know the schedule after 525 episodes, or 35 episodes.
Yeah.
I wasn't in all of them, but let's go to ministry resources.
Yes, my mouse will behave. We have not one, but three different great resources that are related to worship projection, because there are many sites out there that have great slides and things already prepared and geared toward worship, one of which is called Creation Swap. And I know we've talked about this, but it's been quite some time, Martin, since we've talked about this site, but specifically geared toward people kind of curating and submitting their own worship resources. And they have a huge selection that are for free. So royalty-free resources that you can download for free. They also have some for sale, and you can also get kind of a membership and get a certain number of downloads per month kind of thing of the premium content. But the free resources are quite impressive. So we'll definitely include a link in the show notes ministry resources section. And yeah, it looks like there's 82 pages of these free resources available.
Awesome.
All different formats. They have video resources, photos, graphics, audio even available. So some of them are just motion kind of graphics that you can use as a background or whatever, but definitely check out Creation Swap. Two others worth mentioning we've talked about in the past. One's called Centerline New Media, and the other is Worship House Media. Both of those have premium content of the same types, you know, so stills as well as motion videos, things like that that you can use for backgrounds with worship projection.
Yep, just adds a little bit more. Now, you can overdo any of those, obviously, so, you know, don't go too far in, too fast, but great high quality, and that's another thing we probably should have talked about. If you're going to do it, do it the best you can.
I think some of those things Kristen demonstrated for us were just so professional looking, and you know, we can't overlook the fact that if you're using Proclaim, which Kristen talked about earlier in the show, they have such a huge library of pro media available.
Yeah. All right, let's switch gears and go to community feedback.
And one thing we want to mention is our Wells Tech Google group. There was some action over on the Google group recently. This is a place you can subscribe and get emails if you want to get it delivered that way, or just visit the group page for conversational things. So lots of people jump in, ask questions, answer questions, things like that. Recently, Shelley Karstens from up in the Green Bay area talked about hosting a Google Hangout with another school. So she's a school librarian, and they were reading aloud and doing it with other schools across the country. I think she mentioned that they did it with somebody from Alabama, and they got a kick out of the kids in Wisconsin bringing in snow to show the kids in Alabama, although they've had snow down there too.
That's right.
Anyway, so Shelley was looking to connect with other classrooms. This is a great platform to ask those kind of questions, as well as any other techie questions that you have.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. If you want to contribute to the community feedback segment of the show, and we really wish you would, go to the show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and across the top you have all kinds of familiar social media icons. Click on any one of them that suits your fancy. Usually hashtag WellsTech is the best way to get our attention. You can also leave a comment on any of the shows there. Just click on the comment section. Or just send us an email, wellstech@wells.net, and we can get your feedback onto the show. We can talk about it, share, you know, things that you've come up with or ideas that you want us to maybe further explore as well. So anything at all.
That's what makes WellsTech WellsTech.
That is.
Great community we have.
And finally, we come to the video of the week.
And it, again, harkens back to our interview. We found that Faith Life Proclaim Software has an amazing video channel out there on YouTube. So if you aren't subscribed, you might want to go ahead and subscribe to their channel. All kinds of great content there where they're demonstrating different things that are possible with Proclaim Software. One that we'll specifically include in the show notes is a tutorial. A really well done how to do Proclaim. So if you want to get a feel for it even more than what Kristen shared in her interview, maybe watching this 8-minute tutorial will give you even more of an idea of what it can do for your church projection.
Yeah, and if you don't want, you know, if you want to take the step, the halfway step between kind of watching the interview and then actually doing a full install, you know, this might be a good intermediate step to kind of, you know, get your hands dirty a little bit. So
definitely.
Good stuff.
So check out the video.
Sally, that's going to about do it this week. We're going to continue our month-long focus on training our techies, we'll call it. And one of our favorite people, Peter Frank, is going to come on the show and talk about another particular area where a lot of volunteers get involved, and that's church management software.
So Peter Frank is from Concordia Technology Solutions. Yep. They're the people behind Shepherd Staff and Church 360, got some great products and a lot of insight into working with volunteers.
He's got a great blog he's been doing. He's doing some videos as well. So
webinars.
We're excited to talk to him. Yep, absolutely. So tune in next week. Thank you so much for joining us this week, and have a great week. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.